So I'm just going to open up the door to this room. This is
Julie Mack is a genetic counselor, and her room at UCSF's Cancer Center in San Francisco doesn't look anything like a typical exam room. There's a couch, comfy chairs, and a box of Kleenex in arm's reach.
As you can imagine, the things we talk about with people are very serious and sometimes, you know, stressful and upsetting.
Mack often talks with healthy women about their risk of developing breast cancer. Some women have genetic mutations in two genes, BRCA1 and BRCA2, the genes at the center of the Supreme Court case. Women with these mutations are 5 times more likely to develop breast cancer. Mack says a blood or saliva sample can tell a woman if she has those mutations, but that test isn't run here.
For most BRCA1 and 2 testing, the lab in Utah is the only one that does this testing.
Lab in Utah, meaning Myriad Genetics. The company holds patents on not just the test, but the actual genes themselves. That means one company has a monopoly on those genes, and theoretically at least, controls what can be done with them. That's what's being challenged by the American Civil Liberties Union.
A lot of people wonder, how can you patent a gene?
Mildred Cho is with the Stanford Center for Biomedical Ethics. She says the ACLU argues that genes aren't patentable because they're naturally occurring. They're found inside our bodies. And according to patent law,
products of nature are not patentable.
Myriad argues that extracting and reading the code of a specific gene turns it from a natural product into something processed, which makes it patentable. It's all pretty complicated, but Cho says it has real effects on our healthcare decisions, like getting a second opinion.
No laboratory has 100% accuracy, and so you would ideally want to have a lab result that's really important confirmed by another lab. You can't do that if there are patents on that lab test.
Patents can also affect genetic research. That's according to UCSF professor Dr. Robert Nussbaum. When I meet him in his office, he's wearing a button pinned to his shirt.
Talk about your button.
Oh, yeah. So my button says, free the data.
Genetic data, that is. Nussbaum says our DNA doesn't come with an instruction manual that says if a genetic mutation is harmful or not. The only way to find out is to compare it to thousands of other genetic tests.
Well, the only way to make that happen faster is for all the laboratories to pool all their information in one place and all have access to it.
But Nussbaum says not everyone is sharing.
There are a couple of laboratories, and Myriad is one of them, that have decided that since they had the patent on testing, that they would keep their data locked up as a form of intellectual property.
In response, Nussbaum started his own open source database.
So here's Try Our Preview site using ClinVar, Try Our Preview site.
It has genetic data about breast cancer that's free for researchers to use.
In terms of gene testing, I think patents are of no value, period.
Sean Johnston disagrees.
Patents are a very important fundamental part of the foundation on which the biotechnology, biopharmaceutical industry has been built.
Johnston is general counsel at Genentech in South San Francisco, one of the largest biotech companies in the world. He says gene patents aren't just used for genetic testing. They're also used to develop drugs and treatments using DNA.
Biotech and biopharmaceutical companies have relied upon patent protection to justify the significant investment, the risk-taking, and the innovation that is necessary to develop new drugs.
Johnson says it can take $1 billion to bring a drug to market, an investment that could be tougher to make without the protection of gene patents.
It's not a matter that if the court were to rule broadly, our business would be destroyed. But in theory, I think it has the potential for being very disruptive to the industry.
But biotech companies here aren't the only ones watching this case.
Universities are often accused of patenting solely for the purpose of getting financial gain.
Karen Immergluck is with UCSF's Office of Technology Management, which handles several hundred gene patents.
UCSF's first goal is to translate our really exciting cutting-edge technologies into products and services that will benefit the public.
Immergluck says universities walk a fine line. The University of California as a whole is one of the top 10 gene patent holders in the country. Companies pay millions of dollars a year to use its patents, like the one related to human growth hormone. But, she says, the court case brings up issues that universities are already grappling with.
For example, making sure that the rights aren't completely locked up in one company so that underinsured patients don't have access.
Patient access, biotech industry profits, and innovation could all be affected by the Supreme Court's ruling. It's expected in June. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.